It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea. It's National Autism Awareness Month, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 1 in 68 children in the United States is on the autism spectrum. 1 in 68 children. Stephen Scarborough was diagnosed with what was then called Asperger's syndrome. All the different subsets of autism spectrum disorders have now been lumped into one diagnosis, autism spectrum disorder. His mother, Debbie, co-founded Cumberland Academy of Georgia. This Atlanta-based school is for autistic children or children on the autism spectrum. And she joins us in our studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll talk about the school in a little bit. But first, let's just talk about your own personal experience with this. Tell us about Stephen and when you first realized that something was different about him.
Well, Stephen is awesome. He was actually born prematurely, so he came very early at about 24 and a half weeks, which is extremely early. So we were really worried more about the medical issues back then. And it wasn't until he was about 3 years old that he was diagnosed with Asperger's.
And what were the symptoms that you noticed?
Well, you know, Asperger kids, they really hyper-focus on things. They kind of are sensitive to noises. They have a hard time making friends. So he would kind of go by himself. They don't really look at you. So there's a lot of ways to notice it. Now, that was 23 years ago, right? So now they have some more earlier stages of being able to really diagnose it.
Asperger's, which again, I think that's as a diagnosis that's been sort of phased out, but it was used to denote people who were regarded as being on the higher functioning end of the autism spectrum, people for whom these symptoms were not terribly severe or debilitating. Does that describe Stephen?
Absolutely. I think, the spectrum is huge. I mean, it is a round circle. So, I mean, it could be anywhere on the spectrum. And to me, what really matters is being able to help these kids turn in the right direction.
What's on the other end of the spectrum? What kind of behaviors do we see there?
On the more severe side, sometimes there's, a lot of nonverbal, some children who do not communicate at all and never are able to communicate and really cannot function independently.
What's the biggest misconception that you think people have about autism spectrum disorders?
You know, I think they don't really appreciate these amazing kids. These kids are as pure as they come, and they're beautiful, they're smart, and there's someone who is really wonderful inside there, and I think people just need to give them the opportunity. Our kids are extremely successful. They're independent. They're working. They're driving. They're just like you and me. They're just a little quirky at times, but they're amazing.
In terms of raising your own son, Stephen, what were the adjustments that you had to make to your parenting?
Ooh, well, I was new to parenting he was my first child, so everything was an adjustment, and certainly finding out that he had autism was a whole nother adjustment. And I just think what we needed to do was learn to think how he thought so that we could really help him be able to walk the line a little bit straighter. Not too straight, but a little bit straighter than he could.
I mean, reach back in your memory. Can you give me an example, a behavior that you noticed him doing and you had to really think hard about it to know how to what to do with it?
Oh, I've got lots of them, but one in particular. So our kids typically are sensitive to noise, so they really have a hard time around it. So Stephen, when a blower from a gardener, he would freak out. So he would, put his hands on his ears, and he would go, oh, just nuts with that. So, of course, what my husband did was he says, all right, we're going to put a blower on him. And what we did is we faced our fears. So we blew the leaves, and now he doesn't even notice gardeners with blowers anymore. But, things like that, birthday parties, singing happy birthday, those noises were very loud. Now he's 23 and certainly he's been able to filter that.
Outward displays of affection. One of the things that you hear about kids on the autism spectrum disorder is that they don't show affection to their parents in the same way that other kids do. Is that something that you experienced?
So no two kids with autism are alike. My son is extremely affectionate, sometimes too affectionate. So he will hug very hard, inappropriately hard, right? So they have a hard time displaying it, whatever it may be, if it's no affection or if it's too much affection. So it's really difficult for them to judge that. You really have to help them.
And how did he do at school? He went to a mainstream school?
He did. For his elementary years, he did through fifth grade. But I knew sixth grade was going to be a disaster in a junior.
Why?
Well, we're all a little different in junior high anyway. And then when you have some other things going on with you, it makes it even more difficult. So that's when we started seeking a special needs school that really focused on social skills and academics.
How's Stephen doing now?
He's amazing. He's 23, driving a cool yellow convertible Camaro and working on a job.
We're talking with Debbie Scarborough. She's the co-founder of Atlanta's Cumberland Academy of Georgia, a school for kids on the autism spectrum. It's on Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea. It's National Autism Awareness Month, and we're talking about an effort here in Georgia to help children who are on the spectrum. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta is developing resources to detect early signs of the autism spectrum disorders. But work is also being done at a local level. A decade ago, Debbie Scarborough's son, Stephen, was diagnosed with what used to be called Asperger's syndrome, now known as autism spectrum disorder. Debbie then worked with her husband to develop a school for Stephen and other kids like him. She joined us before the break, and she's with us again. So, Debbie, tell us about the Cumberland Academy.
Oh, wow. Thanks for asking. It is amazing. We are really changing lives there. So started again with Stephen, just the one student, on a big leap of faith. Couldn't find a school at the time that really catered to students who really needed social skills and academics. So that's what we started. We went and we got our accreditation, our SACS accreditation, as well as our Georgia accreditation. So that came, the SACS accreditation came after 2 years. We now have over 110 students, and we serve grades 4th through 12th grade. And our kids are just doing amazing. And really what we want to do is see them become successful independent livers, whether, again, it's going to college or working at a career. And our kids, our seniors this year, they're all either working or already have been accepted to college. So we're so excited. And it's just amazing. Our staff is fabulous. They are so well trained and really get our kids. And that's what's so important.
So tell me about how the curriculum differs from a typical school.
Well, we're going to have smaller classroom size. That's extremely important. You know, too many kids in a classroom, you really can't teach to the kid. The students here, they really need to be ability taught because you have so many different abilities. We are not one-on-one, but we are able to teach to their ability, which we have some IQs that are 150. I mean, they are just extremely high. So we have these amazing kids, and then we have some that might be struggling in certain subjects, just like typical kids. You might be really good at math and science and not really good at language arts, or vice versa. So we really work to teach to their strengths and to be able to get them to at grade level or above and be able to get them successful.
How do you accommodate what must be an incredibly wide array of degrees to which their behaviors and functions are affected by wherever they are on the autism spectrum?
Great question. So, you know, our kids, it's not, their behaviors are really more from frustration. They really want to do the right thing. They're pleasers. They're rule followers. They need structure. So that's something that we really work on. But we have an amazing counseling staff. Dr. Kelly Ritter and Ms. Val Schwan head up our entire counseling staff. And we have between 6 and 7 counselors at any one time walk in the hallways, just in case a student might need to take a break. And really our goal is to have them take a break for a 2, 3, 5 minute time and then put them back in class because we want to get them back in class. And that could be putting them on a bike. We also have a dog. It could be petting a dog. It could be running around in the gym and then heading them back to class.
What's your approach to discipline? I mean, that's a fraught topic in even a mainstream school.
Right. Discipline is, you know, we have an amazing principal, Doug Long. And, you know, there's really a question. Is it a disciplinary situation or is it a therapeutic? And more than 99% of the time, a counseling session can really bring these kids back. Aggressiveness is not tolerated. So that is something where that becomes more of a discipline issue. So we have certain consequences, certainly. They have to be accountable for what they do, just like they have to in life. So, and for that, there will be consequences.
It sounds like in order to do what you need to do with this particular student population, you have to have a really, really high faculty to student ratio. How do you keep costs under control? Are they under control?
You know, we're a 501c3, excuse me, and you know, we have been very fortunate. I came from a business acumen prior to starting a school. I didn't think I was going to be starting a school. And to me, it was really important to start a foundation that was really strong, that has sustainability. So tuition, we have to charge tuition. There is something called SB 10 money, which helps tuition. But typically, you know, a lot of it is done through foundations and through donations.
How do you select teachers?
You know, we really want to make sure, excuse me, that we have really great teachers. So their credentials, they need to all be credentialed with special ed background. And they really need to know how to teach our kids. So our kids, to me, diagnosis makes me a little bit nuts. So they can have ASD, as you said, autism spectrum disorder. But there is also ADD, ADHD kids, and some LD, learning disabled students as well. And really, sometimes they all have a little bit of everything. So we try to look at all the different backgrounds to make sure that they're the right type of student for us.
I would say that the trend in K-12 education, certainly with regard to students with disabilities or with other special needs, has been in the direction for many, many years of mainstreaming those kids, getting them out of specialized programs and putting them into the mainstream student population. Your school is bucking that trend. Why?
Well, I want to get them ready. I want to make sure that they're ready. And so that's kind of why we're not typically a transition school. We like to take them through graduation, and we like to make sure that they're going to be ready. We have just recently set up a new, what we call What's Cooking, which is a new kitchen. So they're going to learn how to do all the life skills that are important. We've even set up a dormitory. So they're going to have to change sheets, do the wash, spend the night in a dormitory so that they get those skills prior to leaving us. So I want to make sure that they're ready for that next step.
All right, Debbie, in just 15 seconds, if an educator is listening out there who's not, is dealing with, is teaching at a mainstream school and is dealing with students on the autism spectrum, what advice would you give them?
Be patient, listen, and embrace them more than anything else. Give them an opportunity. I know sometimes classrooms are large and it's hard to do that, but you need to try to do that.
All right. That's Debbie Scarborough. She's co-founder of the Cumberland Academy of Georgia School for Students on the Autism Spectrum. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.